It's Thursday, March 16th, and you're tuned into the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, the Guardians were off, rained out yesterday in Peoria. They had a night game scheduled under the lights against the Padres, but that didn't happen. Rained out in Arizona, and a kind of a rarity in spring training, but that didn't stop the World Baseball Classic games from happening over in the domed ballpark in Phoenix. So we'll get to that in a second here. The Guardians were scheduled to have Tristan McKenzie on the mound. We'll find out when he'll pitch his next game, if they just bump him back, or if they do something to keep everybody on schedule. So no Cactus League game for Cleveland, but what everybody was sort of focused on and watching last night was were some important games in the World Baseball Classic. Important if you're a Guardians fan, and important if you're just a fan of the game to see some really great environments and great crowds, and just the impact of these games are really important. You had Mexico versus Canada for a potential spot in the quarterfinals. Mexico comes out ahead in that game, and there was it was important to the Guardians because Bo Naylor played really well in that game. Their top catching prospect hit a home run, and wasn't able to get Canada over the hump, I guess, against Mexico. Mexico wins Pool C in Phoenix, but Bo Naylor definitely, showed why he's one of the Guardians' top prospects.
Yeah, Joe, it was a great, nice swing by Naylor. You know, went the opposite way with the home run, and you could see why Cleveland is excited about him. The way he caught, the way he looked behind the plate, his arm strength he showed in this tournament. And but that power, that kind of opens your eyes, because they don't have a lot of that. And that swing, that's the swing that's going to get him back up to Cleveland, because obviously he's not going to open the season with the Guardians. They've already optioned him to AAA. But that swing is enough to remind everybody why he was the number one pick and why, he's in the pipeline.
Yeah, and we had already seen his strong throwing arm, throwing out base runners in this tournament. So Bo Naylor, definitely a guy to keep an eye on, as if we haven't already been keeping an eye on him. We know what he's capable of, and now we've seen it at a high level. This can only propel him forward. I think maybe that adjusts that timetable and makes him, if he takes this and runs with it, back to Columbus, he won't be down in AAA very long.
Yeah. And, we still don't know the exact composition of what the catching, tandem is going to be in Cleveland. We know Mike Zunino is going to be the starter. Still, there's still the competition for the backup job is still going on, but it looks like, like Cam Gallagher probably has the inside track, but it's going to be, Bo Naylor is a guy to remember for sure.
The other games that were played yesterday, Venezuela takes care of Team Israel 5-1, but the Venezuelan team, probably the surprise of the tournament so far, and as far as just their dominance, they're 4-0. They won Pool D in Florida, running away. The Venezuelan team, led by a pretty solid lineup, Jose Altuve at the top, Anthony Santander batting .462 in the tournament. But the Guardians have a guy on that roster in Andrés Giménez, and it looks like he's along for the ride. He'll be staying with Team Venezuela for as long as they're going to go. They are going to go up against the United States in one of the quarterfinal matchups. But Giménez is going to be with Team Venezuela for a little bit longer.
Yeah, he's swinging the bat well, playing good defense. He's really kind of been a big part of that Venezuelan club that is, really, Joe, I mean, even before they started playing WBC games, they beat the Mets. They beat every big league team they played as well in their tune-up games. So this is a team that's on a hot streak, and it's a team to watch. And USA is going to have its hands full.
Ronald Acuña, Eugenio Suarez, Salvador Perez, all big contributors to this team. It's the pitching, as you're well aware. As long as they can pitch and they can throw guys out there on the mound. Jesus Luzardo, lefty for the Marlins, came out there in his home park, 4 innings, allowed 4 hits, struck out 5. Just looks really solid, and it's kind of fun to watch these guys, the way they play. They're opening up some eyes for sure. Out of a pool that included Puerto Rico and the Dominican Republic, it's Team Venezuela that was the one that comes out undefeated and sort of making noise. But that led to the sort of the setup game in the 7 o'clock game in Florida was the one that everybody sort of had their eyes on, Puerto Rico versus the Dominican Republic. The winner of that game would advance as the 2 seed out of Pool D, and the loser, it's you're done, you're going home. And you think about the star power in both of those lineups, explaining how you're out, you didn't make it out of pool play, is going to be real tough when you get to your homeland. The Puerto Rican team comes away with a 5-2 victory, led by Francisco Lindor. Lindor was just a monster at the plate in the game. He hits what amounts to a Little League home run as the ball gets past Julio Rodriguez in center field, and Lindor sprints around the bases for an inside the park home run. He also had I believe an RBI base hit, drove in a run as well. He's hitting .467 out of the leadoff spot for the Puerto Rican team in this tournament. Kike Hernandez, .375. He had a pair of hits in the game, and really, they did the job. They pieced together enough innings out of their pitching staff to get the job done against what should be a dominant Dominican Republic lineup. That's now going to be, watching the rest of this tournament from the sidelines.
Yeah, Joe. I don't know if they're, those Dominican players might not be allowed back in the country after the end of the season here. That's serious business. The World Baseball Classic, the Latin American, all those teams in Latin America, they have a fierce rivalry with each other. So this is another chapter in it. And Puerto Rico played well, and like you said, Lindor, 2 for 4, 2 RBIs, is having a great series. And we'll see what happens. And unfortunately for Puerto Rico, Joe, this did not end all that well.
Yeah, the last out of the game was secured on the mound by their all-star closer. They're basically the best closer in the National League in Edwin Diaz. He's out there on the mound and gets the last out. And then in the ensuing dog pile celebration, Edwin Diaz injures his knee pretty badly, and it looks like they're setting him up for an MRI today. But judging by the faces of his teammates and everybody who helped him off the field, this could be a season-ending injury for Edwin Diaz, who just recently signed a 5-year, $102 million contract with the Mets, and that's gonna lead us sort of into our big conversation here about the World Baseball Classic. Is this worth it for Major League Baseball teams to allow their players to go and play in this when there's a potential for a guy like Edwin Diaz to lose the entire season?
This is like the worst scenario for the Mets and for Major League Baseball. It's just another, cautionary tale for Major League Baseball, for MLB teams to keep their best players in spring training to not allow them to play. And it hurts the tournament. If you can't have your best players, if teams don't release their best players, the tournament is diminished. But Joe, I don't know. I mean, this thing that was such those are the celebratory injuries we've seen it in different sports are so freaky. It's not like he got hurt. On the mound, he struck out the side to end the ball game to get the save, and then he starts jumping around, and like you said, in the dog pile, so he blows out his knee, and it's just unfortunate. But I bet there's 30 teams or 29 teams. Their general managers are sitting back in their executive offices in Arizona and in Florida and saying, God, I'm glad we didn't send our best closer to this thing.
Yeah, well, and that's you look, Emmanuel Clase could have been closing for the Dominican Republic. He could have been on the other side of that thing if Manny Machado goes 2 for 2 and drives in a pair of runs. Maybe Emmanuel Clase is the one jumping up and down as in celebrating, and somehow his knee gets knocked out of whack. That's how close the Guardians are to and let's be honest, the Mets can absorb this hit a little bit more than a team like the Guardians could. If Emmanuel Clase goes out there and he gets injured and he's lost for the year, they don't have the resources to go out and get another $100 million closer. So I don't know. I just sort of look at it as, the Guardians should count their blessings in terms of the way things worked out this time. But as far as looking forward, do you want a guy like Emmanuel Clase or a Jose Ramirez or a Shane Bieber or anybody like that going to a tournament like this?
Yeah, Joe. I mean, I think, teams give it lip service. They say, it's an honor to pitch for your country. If these guys really want to go, it's hard to say no to them. But I think common sense has to prevail too. You're the team paying them. You're the team, giving them, giving them these huge contracts. And it's just, it just at times, it's great to watch. It's great to watch the excitement of these games, but there's a cost at the other end of this thing, and you really have to balance it, and you really have to, and your players have to realize that too. I think sometimes the players get caught up in that national, that patriotism of playing for their country because it is a thrill, but one way or the other, Diaz is getting paid, but those contracts are guaranteed. But this is a setback for him and his team. I mean, the Mets were supposed to, be the team to beat. I mean, Steve Cohen spent what? They've got over a $340 million payroll. This was going to be their year, and this hurts. This is devastating.
Back when COVID was sort of the topic of baseball, and all the protocols and the rules were in place, and they were talking about I mean, if you'll remember, we had segregated locker rooms, and players were social distancing was a big deal, and they were talking about how post game celebrations would be sort of subdued. And when they were doing the bubble series for in 2020, they talked about no champagne celebrations for teams that advanced or anything like that. Does this injury have a chilling effect on post game celebrations? We saw last year after the Guardians had some of their walk-offs, Josh Naylor, he's sort of the poster boy for insanity post game celebrations. Throwing helmets and injuring managers with headbutts. But we've seen walk-off celebrations at Progressive Field that you're sort of the first thing that pops into your brain while you're watching these guys run around the infield and celebrate a random win in January against or in June against the Twins. The thing that pops into your head is, gosh, I hope nobody, trips over something or twists an ankle or pops out a hamstring or does something like that. Does this story now have a chilling effect on those kinds of celebrations.
It could, Joe, but you know as well as I do, the first time somebody hits a walk-off home run or a walk-off hit in for the Guardians or any other team, once the regular season starts, there's going to be a mayhem, at first base or at home plate or somewhere. You have to be careful, but sometimes I don't think that enters your mind when you're celebrating a hit or a victory. It's hard to control that. It really is.
Yeah, the guys that I would always watch in those post-game celebrations would be, the guys like Framil Reyes, or the big guys who could get carried away in the ripping off of the jerseys and things like that. You don't want to see fingers, hands, arms get twisted up or anything. I also watch the Gatorade bucket that gets lifted up over, gets lifted up high, and they go to dump ice water on somebody. I worry about, somebody getting clunked in the head with a Gatorade bucket and missing games because of a concussion. All of these things, I've got to believe that Tito goes right into the clubhouse, this morning or sometime this week, and just and plays the video and says, "Hey, when you're in this situation, when we've won a game, when we've, we're celebrating however we celebrate, just have fun, but make sure you don't hurt anybody or yourself."
Yeah, nobody lands on the concussion protocol list by getting ahead with a Gatorade bucket. That should be a no-no.
Or headbutting the manager with a helmet on. I mean, that right there could have been devastating had Josh Naylor injured Tito, on a season where Tito made it through without any real health concerns. You've got Josh Naylor coming in like a crazy man without a helmet on, directly headbutting his manager. I think he said he broke his glasses too. So you've really got to be careful with things like that. But we get carried away. But this is the real tragedy about this is Edwin Diaz's brother was on the team. The two of them were playing for the first time together in a meaningful game. And just the anguish on his face when he saw his brother, laying there unable to get up and walk off the field under his own power. I think that's the message you want to send to your team. Don't let your teammates down by doing something stupid. We've seen Zach Plesac, miss time the last two seasons because he couldn't control his emotions after a loss. Same thing goes for a win.
Yeah, Joe, those are great points. And, hopefully in the heat of the moment, they remember that because, it's an emotional game and emotions, are great to see, but, they have consequences, as we saw last night.
Yeah, I can recall on a couple of those celebration walk-off videos, watching Tristan McKenzie as the dugout is emptying onto the field and they're chasing after the guy who got the hit or whatever. McKenzie's first move is to go find water. He's the one going for the bucket or going for the cups of water. You can almost see him look back at the camera a couple of times and be like, okay, we're going to go do this. You really worry about, Tristan, because it's not like he's exactly the biggest guy in the world. The other thing that stood out last year, Josh Naylor hit that home run against Minnesota, the walk-off, and his bat flip was notable in that game. He made it pretty much halfway down the first base line before he launched his bat up into the air like a helicopter. And, we had the same reaction, Mandy Bell and myself in the press box, watching the bat flip up in the air and watching Sandy Alomar at first base, sort of making his way up the line to sort of run off the field. The bat didn't miss Sandy Alomar by much. And it was the concern was, don't kill your teammates with a bat flip as well.
Exactly. I mean, flying objects, what do they say, on the back of your ticket going into the ballpark, be on the lookout for flying objects entering the stands. They're on the field as well. So it's just, it can be dangerous. Definitely.
Okay. Well, that post-game celebration led to, The United States taking on Colombia in pretty much a must-win game for Team USA. They could have advanced had they lost a game, 2-1, that would have still worked out in their favor. They could have moved out of Pool C with a tiebreaker, but Mike Trout and Team USA decided to take care of matters on their own. Trout with a couple of hits, including an RBI triple and a two-run single, and he drove in all three runs for the United States. Seven hits. Kendall Graveman gets the win. The closer from Houston, Ryan Pressly, he got the save, and the United States advances out of Pool C with a 3-2 win over Colombia. The Colombian team, led by Oscar Mercado, he had a hit and scored a run. Gio Urshela, so a couple of former Guardians players, as well as Harold Ramirez, he's in that lineup as well. Mavis Valoria had a hit for Team Colombia, and he's a guy who's sort of locked in trying to win a spot and as a catcher for Cleveland. But a nice showing in the tournament by Team Colombia, able to come out of there, and at least give Team USA a game in the final game of pool play.
Yeah, definitely. They're a very competitive team. They had, big league players in that lineup. Oscar Mercado had a good series, like you said, and, Joe, it's just because you have USA across your chest and you have that lineup filled with all-stars, like we've said before, you have to pitch. And with the restrictions on pitching in this tournament, a pitcher's limited to, 65 pitches?
In pool play, it was 65 pitch limit, yeah.
Yeah, that levels the playing field. It really does. And so you're gonna have to get, your pitchers are really going to have to be efficient, and get, give you four or five innings, and to do that, you can't throw a lot of pitches. And, so that neutralizes, the advantage teams have in the lineup, I think.
Yeah, it's certainly was the case there. As far as Team USA's chances now, like we said, they advance to play Team Venezuela. Should be a fun matchup to watch. With those, players on both sides, but, I think Team USA, has a good chance to maybe play for a championship here if they can get past Venezuela, and move into the semifinal round.
Yeah, for sure. They're the defending champs. Offensively, they certainly have enough firepower. I think it's going to be exciting baseball. It's going to be, I would think it's going to be pretty close. The team, you've got the best teams now, I guess you could argue that the Dominican, was one of the better team, maybe the Dominican or Puerto Rico, who knows who was the better team, over a season. But, you've got the best teams in there now. The competition gets tougher, and the quality of play should be better because now these guys, all these teams have been playing together longer. They're playing together more as a team.
All right. As for the Guardians, they will be in action over at Goodyear against the White Sox. 4:05 Eastern start time for them. We don't know yet if Tristan McKenzie will make the start or if they'll reshuffle the order, but we'll find out, and we'll bring you a wrap up of that game tomorrow on St. Patrick's Day here on the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. Hoynesy, we'll talk to you then.
All right, Joe.